Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, I'm going to challenge you this morning. See if we can do this sing-along thing together. I'll sing, and then I'll point at you, and you sing in response to what I just said. It's pretty easy. This is the day, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Together now. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Impressive for Lutherans, I'm telling you. Now, there's some other songs that we could sing together. For example, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. You know the song, right? And it just kind of gets you all jacked up inside. Gets me all excited. But then the reality is I live in a sin-filled world where everything's not all joy, joy, joy. And there's sometimes I don't want to rejoice. And then the Apostle Paul comes and kind of rubs salt in the wound and says the words, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There you have it. You feel like rejoicing today? What was the score? Don't feel like rejoicing. It's not a day for. In fact, when Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, I kind of sense a tad unrealistic, isn't it? And when he says, don't be anxious about anything, it's a bit idealistic, don't you think? It's difficult to rejoice, especially with all the problems we face in our everyday lives. Problems are all around us. But Paul continues to go, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he has the audacity to say, again, I say rejoice. Well, spoiler alert, we can't just sing the song and then all of a sudden everything's better and bright and shiny and everything in life is perfect and our anxieties disappear and we're filled with joy. In fact, the theme of rejoice in the Lord always would be a good theme to put on one of those posters you see at Walmart with the kitty batting the yarn around saying, rejoice in the Lord always, and you can stick it on your bedroom wall. You see, the reality is that in the world in which we live in, there's going to be problems. But Paul says we're to rejoice. Why? Because the Lord is near. Now, he certainly didn't feel near. He doesn't feel near when all those problems are all around us, does he? But Paul still says, regardless of that, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't be anxious because the Lord is near. Now, don't you feel better? So how's that working for you? Is it all coming together? Sure, it's easy for the Apostle Paul to say, but he doesn't have the problems that you deal with. See, after all, Paul didn't have 5 mouths to feed because he wasn't even married, right? He didn't have to worry about making a mortgage payment. Paul didn't have to worry about any of the difficult custody battle suits that happen within broken marriages. He didn't have to deal with any of that stuff. Cancer? No, Paul didn't have to deal with that. He didn't have any idea of the challenge that you go through or that person you work with at the office that goes out of their way to make your life miserable. And rejoice in the Lord always. You don't say, Paul. You don't sit beside him or her every single day and hear him yak, 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 gossiping about me and putting me down. You don't have to try to keep a marriage afloat. You don't have an elderly parent to care for. You don't deal in recovering from a sexual assault or a bully in school. You don't have to deal with any of that stuff. You didn't have the internet to have to deal with children that find bad influences on the internet and trying to protect them from it. You don't have that idea of creating more scholarships for your kids, so I enroll them in all these classes of AP classes and extracurricular classes and then try to get them to all them. You don't deal with the pressure of that now, do you, Paul? You didn't have ISIS to deal with. You don't have transgender bathrooms. You don't have violence against the police. You don't have any of that stuff. And you stand before us and say, rejoice in the Lord always. Don't be anxious. The Lord is near. Easy for an apostle 2,000 years ago, but not today. Don't we live in a different time?
Well, it can be difficult for us to muster any form of joy considering all the circumstances that we face in life. And I just touched on a few. There's many more that you struggle with that I'm not even aware of. It's hard to rejoice when the doctor calls and says it's malignant. It's hard to rejoice when you don't feel good and you don't know why. It's just hard to rejoice. It's difficult for us to see that the Lord is near on the many terrible things that happen in the world today. Just natural disasters for one. Hurricanes? Not one, but what are we up to? Three? Floods, wildfires that claim people's lives and property, tornadoes, earthquakes. Human suffering is all around us. And guess what? We can't do a thing about it. And we're supposed to rejoice. You ever feel to you like God doesn't seem all that near? It's like God doesn't even care. And yet it's easy for Paul to say, well, rejoice in the Lord always. Don't be anxious because the Lord is near. How about when a loved one is in the throes of death and you have to sit by helplessly watching cancer consume their body? You feel helpless. God doesn't seem near. He certainly don't seem near when you don't even have the opportunity to tell him goodbye. I'm going to tell you a true story. It happened in February of 1991. It was the height of Desert Storm. A woman by the name of Ruth received a call that no mother wants to receive from the military, confirming news that her son, Clayton Carpenter, private first class, had stepped on the landmine and had lost his life. Well, you know, you never expected that to happen to you or anyone that you love. And when it does, you begin to ask questions. Questions like, why would God let this happen? Right? Why would you let that? If you're near, Lord, why did you let this happen? Or where was God on that night? Or better yet, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Well, have you ever asked those questions yourself? Because I know Ruth was struggling with those questions in the days following the news that her son had died. I'm quite confident people came to her to reassure her of God's love and comfort. But I have a hard time imagining and say, well, you know, Ruth, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice because the Lord is near. It seems almost abusive. It's like rubbing salt in the wound. So who does Paul think he is to stand before us? And it feels like he's ridiculing us to rejoice in the Lord always. It's easy to rejoice when you're healthy, wealthy, and wise. But not so much when you're not feeling it. And life isn't going your way. And we step back and say, wait, Paul, it's easy for you to say, but you are not in my situation. You have no idea what I'm going through. So Paul, why don't you just keep your mouth shut? I told the Bible class this morning, I rejoiced that they didn't walk out after that portion of the sermon. See, the reality is that Paul knew what suffering was like. He wrote this letter to the church at Philippi while he was bound in chains in prison. Did you know that? He was in a dark cell when he wrote these words. He was struggling with life behind bars. He was also struggling with the challenges and the pressures of being a pastor that would oversee the ministries of congregations in Corinth and Thessalonica and Ephesus. Congregations that each had their own challenges that he was trying to address and stave off. But he also knew the Philippian Christians and the challenge that they had there. False doctrines began to seep in. There was a feud that was boiling up in the church that threatened to divide it all the way. And he also knew that the Philippian congregation, their status within the community, they were despised and hated and rejected. He knew what they were going through as he penned these words. He knew that hostility. But yet Paul wrote these words to that congregation to rejoice in the Lord always. As I think about the Apostle Paul, I think about all the reasons why he had reasons not to rejoice. His life was not easy. He even suffered from physical disability, but the reality was that Paul still cried out to them. Each time he wrote a letter to them, the chains would rattle and be a reminder and resonate that he was in prison, that life wasn't hunky-dory for him, but he was writing to them to encourage them and strengthen them, even in the midst of things they could not possibly understand. You see, the Apostle Paul had reason to rejoice because he knew the world, although it was fallen and imperfect, there was a God who would not rest until it was restored. He knew that in spite of everything that the world had done to him and the Christians that were planted throughout the world, that they had a Savior who loved them greatly. He found reason to rejoice, in the matter of fact, because there's something greater coming. That life on this earth is not all there is. The pain and sorrow and suffering that we face today isn't the whole story. The Apostle Paul had plenty of reasons to rejoice. He found reason to rejoice that he had experienced that love of Christ in his own life. He, a sinner above all sinners, had experienced the forgiveness that Jesus Christ died to give. In spite of all of the challenges he faced in life, in spite of all the suffering that he went through, he knew that there was a Savior who loved him just as he loves you. That God works for the good in all things of those who love and are called according to his purpose. That's what Paul knew. He penned the words by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he had found reason to rejoice because he knew that his sin, yours and mine, are forgiven because of what Christ did upon the cross. You and I are a new creation. The old is dead. The new has come. In spite of the fact that we live in a world that's fallen and we hurt each day, that we have a Savior who loves us and sent his Son into the world, and that on the third day the tomb was empty, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Do you realize the fact that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life? Do you understand the depth of that love that God had for you and me as fallen people? That he would send his Son in the world to suffer and die. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, Paul says. Now let me tell you a little bit more about Ruth, who got the news of her son's death. The story didn't end there. She was mourning the death of her son for 3 days. On the third day, her telephone rang. And on the other end of the phone, someone said, "Mom, it's me, I'm alive." She thought it was a cruel joke. That someone who was an anti-war demonstrator was out to ruin her life. But the more she listened, the more she realized it was Clayton. It was her own son. It was his sweet voice that she heard. Her baby was still alive, and he was coming back home to be with her. Ruth would say later that she laughed, she cried, she rejoiced, because what seemed like it was all hopelessly lost and a tragic situation was radically transformed into the greatest day of her life. You know, as your pastor, I've been with you for what, 14 years now? I know the challenges that you've gone through, many of them anyway, and I know the joy that that Christ brings into your life. Because of your faith in him, in spite of all the things that you face each and every day, the things that, you know, I wish I had the power just to kind of take them all away. But God has said, point them to me. Point them to the comfort of the cross. Point them to the empty tomb. Point them to the promises that I've made. And that's what I intend to do each and every day. For you, there is life everlasting through faith in Jesus Christ. We have reasons to rejoice because of God's love for us. We have reasons to rejoice in spite of things we can't not possibly understand because of God's great love for us. For you and I are a new creation, forgiven, renewed. This morning we have reason to rejoice just because of the fact that we're washed in the water of baptism. Do you realize what that's done? Water and word, and you're a new creation, a part of the family of God. Words of absolution spoken. Sins are forgiven. Don't take them home with you. They're forgiven, gone, washed away. In a few moments, we'll stand before the altar of our Lord and take our knee to receive the very flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, who is crucified for us. And because of him, you and I have the ability to rejoice today. In spite of what challenges you face, the ones I know and the ones that I don't know, in spite of all of them, you have victory in Christ. Amen. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.